Hey, greetings everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on the Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? Joining me, I have the one and only Allison Graham. Good morning. How you doing, Allison?
Good morning. We all need a clap like that to start our day, don't we? It's great to be with you.
It is a pleasure to have you on, Allison. And for the folks who don't necessarily know Dr. Resiliency, resiliency expert out there, can you briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. So my work is really helping people come out of the struggle, problem solving for the human experience. And we're taught to be resilient. And what does that really mean? You know, I think everybody, and your podcast is so brilliant at highlighting this, everybody has a story. Like, you're not getting out of this life without a story. And so the challenge is, and you know this, is that a lot of times we don't know what the story is. So for me, it's less about what your story is and more about how do I help you get through it and make your best life despite the story.
Yeah.
And so that's my work, whether it's speaking or authorship or whatever. So
I love it. And if people want to get a hold of you, Allison, what's the best way to connect with you?
Visit me at allisongraham.com. And I am also very active on LinkedIn, is probably my main social media platform. So come find me, connect, say hello, let me know you're a listener. And I would love to say hello.
Awesome. I love it that we all have stories of resiliency and we have to share that story out there as well. So Allison, you know, our podcast centers on bringing amazing people like yourself on and having you kind of walk us through one of those valley experiences that you've had. And you mentioned the 10-year walk of hell or
decade of hell. I call it my decade of hell.
Decade of hell.
Yeah. I can laugh now because I'm through it. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily funny in the middle of it. It was really tough. And so it really began when my dad died and I didn't have the tools to grieve. So very natural part of life, but I didn't have the tools. And so my approach was bury myself in work and make some bad decisions in my personal life. And then I had the surgery. Now, this was just a cyst. It should have been a cakewalk. I'd had it before and things went very wrong. And I ended up with neuropathic pain, which essentially the best way I can describe that is a serrated edge knife that is twisting into your pelvis. Wow. And so I had 5 surgeries to try to fix the first on and off medications. I had a lot of reactions to medications and, you know, hundreds of doctor's appointments in and out. And I remember the day that resilience became, actually, I remember the moment that resilience became my priority. And I was sitting across from my neurologist at the hospital and I was desperate. Like I just needed him to take me back before the surgery, take me back before the pain. I cannot handle it for one more second. And I was, you know, ugly crying and screaming. And it was really quite dramatic. Yeah. And he said to me, Allison, look, you need to reevaluate your expectations for your life. You are never going to work full-time again. You are never going to be off pain medication. And it's time that we talk about you going on disability. And I knew in that moment of desperation that giving up on my hopes and dreams and like what I was doing, I was working in the media at the time. I was, had started my speaking career and I knew that wasn't the answer. Yeah. And he said, well, then you are going to have to learn how to be resilient. Wow. And it gave me just like enough hope that I left that hospital and I put on like my consultant's hat and I said, okay, how do I do this resilience thing? And then started this journey. But what I've come to realize is he was half right. It's not just resilience, because there comes a point, and you've probably had this experience too. It's like, I don't want to have to prove that I'm resilient anymore. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm sick of being resilient. I call it coping fatigue, when you're exhausted from having to be, like, having to cope. And what I realized is there's actually a step before resilience that is the key to unlocking the joy and the peace and the opportunity within the struggle. And it's, we need to have a better perspective. We need to be able to problem solve the situations that are going on in our life better, faster, more effectively, so that we aren't even interpreting some of the challenges as things that we need to deal with. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's why I created the problem solving framework. It's what I do now, full time, speaking and sharing with people. And this is, so anyway, there's the story. There were many other things. There were six people who died in a matter of a few months who were really important in my life. And I had eight major injuries that were pretty tough, and they weren't my fault. Like, it was like, I just kept getting into these random places. Like, I broke my nose because a tire fell on me when I was changing a NASCAR. How does that happen?
We have to do a whole nother show about that one. I want to hear more about that one later on, though. You know, I want to go back. And first of all, you know, condolences for losing your father. That's not easy at all, losing a loved one. And you know, sometimes when we lose someone, we don't necessarily have the blueprint in terms of how to grieve. People grieve differently, of course. But you know, I want to go back to the piece where you talked about the chronic pain, because for the outsider, you start talking about chronic pain. That's not something that you see with the eye. So to the average person from the outside, they're saying, you're okay. What are you talking about, chronic pain? You're still functioning. You're moving. Your back is still, you're able to bend over. You're able to do it. What are you talking about, pain? It's more psychological. And then you go to a medical expert who says, Allison, forget about the future. You're going to have to do something different. Talk to us about the emotions that you had to deal with and that you felt in that moment when you heard the expert saying, Allison, it's a wrap for you.
Yeah. I knew at that point, like, I only had after the surgery 2 to 5 hours of functionality a day.
Wow.
So the challenge with that is that in those 2 to 5 hours of functionality, I was great at putting on the smile and, you know, doing it. Actually, I remember I hosted this event because I used to teach networking. So I was really big into networking. Like I said, I was in the media, very much out and about around town and doing a lot of volunteer work, which ultimately I realized I needed to take care of myself and not try to take care of everybody else. And that was one of the boundaries I put into place. I remember I had 70 women over for a cocktail party in the, I lived in a condo building and I had in the downstairs. Mm-hmm. And at about, like maybe about an hour and a half in, one of my best friends, because we need to have those safe people who know what's really going on. And she came over to me and she looked me in the eye and she said, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm great. And she's like, no, you're not. And I'm not. And she started just casually saying, guys, you know what? I think it's time to wrap up. Hey, let's go down to the restaurant. And she started shielding, like getting people out. And the second that the last person walked out the door, I just fell to the floor. And God, I remember that so much. And I sat there leaning up against the pool table and my, you know, couple friends who were left, they brought over, you know, and we sat together on the floor. And about an hour later, they were able to take me upstairs and get me into bed. And I remember that because it was a real eye opener for how much of a facade I was putting on to keep up the public appearances and how exhausting that was.
Yes.
Right. Like and the problem with chronic pain is, and nobody can see it. I remember I was coaching someone and he's like, he has neuropathic pain in his jaw. So mine is in a different area, but it's the same sensation and everybody experiences pain differently. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, I need my family to understand. They don't get it. They don't know how hard it is for me to smile or to eat or to function. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, first of all, they can't feel your pain. It is a solo journey. It is you and you are on your own. Nobody else can interpret it. And so when we look for other people, I'm like, would you really want your kids to feel that pain? And he's like, no, no. Okay. But what we really often want is validation. We want validation because it's part of the human experience. We're suffering on our own and we need to find somebody who can feel it with us. Yeah. And when I realized that I need to be able to self-validate, right? And be like, Allison, this is your pain journey. As a matter of fact, we're recording this before it's going to be aired, but my anniversary, my 14-year anniversary from the surgery was on Saturday.
Wow.
And there are certain things I could do, no problem. And there are certain things I cannot do. Now, I'm not on pain medication anymore. I deal with all of the neuropathic pain through my mental thinking and all of that and different strategies that I use. But there is one apparatus in working out that I cannot use. And so for 14 years, I've just not used it. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know, on the anniversary of the surgery, for 24 minutes of this boot camp, I'm supposed to be using this apparatus that I cannot use. Wow. And it was the first time in my life since then that I'd been phased, not the first time, but it was just so symbolic. Mm-hmm. So symbolic to me. And I was embarrassed and I was angry and I was like, all these feelings came rushing back. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Allison, the instructors did not choose this for today's workout. Right. Because you know what I mean? Like I had to go into the internal to be able to validate myself and go like, look, nobody else knows you're in pain. Nobody knows that you can't do this. You're going to adapt and you're going to find a different way. And I did. And it was embarrassing. And, you know, somebody said to me, why aren't you using this? And is it broken? And I'm like, no, I just can't. And like, but all these feelings, I used to use what I call a gotta go technique. I don't like how it feels over here. So I got to go over there.
Sure.
And deflect and distract and instead of going into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a big learning for me. Like I gotta be able to go into the worst feelings. And yeah, I might cry and probably will. But if we don't, we get stuck and then it makes the pain worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Allison, I want to thank you for really being transparent and honest about that, you know, because a lot of listeners out there, they may be dealing with some type of chronic pain or what have you. And to know that it's okay. And that you will have moments, ups and downs, and that's okay as well, though. So great strategies. You know, as you went through this journey, were there any people or a particular person that you can point to say, this person really helped me as a mentor or guide to kind of fully understand this and get to a place where I was able to, were you able to be at your best life despite the chronic pain as well?
Absolutely. I think we all go through life and there's got to be journeys. So number one, I can't even tell you the number of YouTube videos, podcasts, positive thinking, even comedians, right? Like Michael McIntyre got me through so many nights of trying to find hope and joy and just the levity of life when there's so much heaviness out in society. So there's definitely that. And like I watch Impact Theory and a whole bunch of them anyway, but in the background, there are two people who I would like to mention. Number one, Dr. Tony. So Dr. Tony he no longer is, unfortunately, because they shut down the program. For 8 years, I had the privilege of going to him for every 2 to 3 weeks. And he's a psychologist who specializes in acquired traumatic pain. And so that was like a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy. We talked about theories and application of theories, and he was incredible. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I really connected with him is because unlike other pain psychologists who I'd been to before meeting him, he wasn't sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. He wasn't telling me to pace myself. And I say that really derogatorily because like as someone who has big plans and wants to succeed, when you tell me to pace, mm-hmm. you're basically telling me I'm out of the race. I'm the one who's going to slow down the cars.
Sure.
Right. And get everybody ready to go so that they can go off and win the race. No, 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 no. That's not what I want for my life. Yeah. And so every time a doctor says, well, you've got to learn to pace yourself. And I'm like, so basically you want me to give up on my life? No. So it was, he was like real about it. And so we created some words and thinking that could help. So it's more like, what's empowering? So I need to control my schedule. I need to make choices with my body and my time on how I'm going to best use it. That was huge. The other one, a person that was huge was my mom, right? Mm. When the doctor told me I needed to, you know, go on disability and I was ready to give up on my life. Yeah. What I did was I looked at it strategically. And I said, okay, what's the adversity? And by the way, you can interchange pain with grief, with, you know, divorce, with anything. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The adversity, we can't control that. Mm-hmm. But what are the new byproducts that came out of that? Yeah. So what are the new obstacles that come from an adversity? And every adversity has different obstacles. For me, one of them was I couldn't drive myself to my speaking engagements because sitting is the hardest thing for me to do. And so I was really getting into trouble on the highway. Most of my deals were about 2.5 hours apart, hit some traffic, you know, it's 5 hours. I'm pulling over on the side of the highway trying to manage pain, not safe. And so I said, okay, so I got to figure out how to better get to my gigs. And I went, okay, what's the task that come out of that? Well, I need to get somebody to drive me. And I couldn't afford a chauffeur, although that would have been lovely with a limo and the whole kit and caboodle so I could lie down, you know, and have a nice, like, you know, sit mimosas on my way to each gig. But no. I did what any independent, strong, successful woman did. I called my mom.
Yes.
And I said, hey, I know you're adjusting to life after dad died and retirement. What if you like gave all that up and came and hung out with me?
Wow.
And you could, you know, drive me. We'd have so much fun. You could drive me to all my gigs in Toronto. Think of the fun we'd have together.
Yes.
And, you know, you could take care of the house so I could keep my business alive. And you could turn off my lights at night when I was in so much pain that I couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
Anyway, she said yes. Wow. And she moved to live with me. And then as I got better and better and better, she was, you know, she had her own health challenges. And so we switched roles and I helped take care of her for quite some time. And now she's doing great. So yay.
Wow. Yeah. That is awesome. What's your mom's name?
Barb.
Shout out to Barb. Amazing mom. We all need amazing moms like that. Shout out to Barb for definitely going above and beyond. And again, thank you for sharing that as well. So, you know, Allison, as you look back on your darkest day, what kept you fighting? Because you had a chance to give up. You could have gave up and said, you know what, hey, I'm going to sign up for disability and I'm just going to go on. I'm going to sit at home. I'm done. I'm not going to live those dreams. Those dreams are, you know, by the wayside. You kept fighting. What kept you fighting on your darkest day?
The concern that other people were going through it and were struggling and maybe didn't have the resources I did or the drive and I needed to help them.
Yeah.
Like it was this bigger vision. I wanted to be a speaker. I didn't realize it was actually a profession for the record. I wanted to be it, but I didn't know you could earn money doing it. I just thought you did it, sure. Which is great. And I had this image of me on big stages and inspiring people. And that was going to be where I was eventually going to go.
Sure.
And so that drive, that why was what really propelled me. But the other thing is, and this is very practical, what's the alternative?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, so the alternative is, okay, so I go on disability. I shrink my expectations for my life.
Mm-hmm.
I now am financially not going to, I was already having enough financial challenges, right? Like with trying to run a business part-time, I was going to be forever beholden to the government, right? I wasn't going to have fun I didn't see it. I didn't want to be a victim.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be a victim of circumstance. I did not want these things that were out of my control to define who I became in my life. There's a lot of regret in that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I just like, so part of it was practicality. What's the alternative? And part of it was this deep desire to keep going in this vision of like, one day I will be at a level that I feel like I've helped. Like I want to help millions of people. I'm a long way away from that. But great. That's my plan.
Great choice. I'm so glad you made that choice as well. So as you look back today, Allison, how would you say this whole ordeal kind of shaped you as a person?
My thinking on a day-to-day basis, for sure. So a few things. Number one, being willing to go into the feelings. Yeah. Really, really important. Yeah. Second thing, I had such horrible negative self-talk.
Yeah.
Like I hated on myself, right? Like, and it was no wonder the universe was beating up on me with all these random accidents. Heck, every time I walked by a mirror, I was beating up on me.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So I got very compassionately curious with myself and figured out what are the patterns that are making my life harder. And that's what I talk with people about now. And how do I, like, why do I do that? Is there a better way? What triggered that? Not being embarrassed or shameful about it and being really vulnerable with myself. I think that is a huge fundamental way of how I live my life now. And then the third piece, I think, is the strategy around understanding the difference between tasks and obstacles and adversities. And with the adversities, we've got to heal from them. And get with the obstacles, we've got to solve them. We don't need a lot of emotion in there to solve them. Actually, probably better and objectivity gives us a better opportunity for moving forward, right? And then the tasks, I'm a master procrastinator, I'm a master worrier, all those different things. And it's like, okay, but if I do that, that's going to steal more capacity out of my day to day. And if I still have the pain, like, right, but it's not as intense for sure. And it's not my defining morning thought, sure. Right? Like I've chosen that. But what happens is that like the task, if I'm procrastinating, I'm like, oh my gosh, Allison, you've got to put the problem solving framework on this to get over it, to get it done so that it's not stealing capacity unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the thinking that I live with every day. So those would be the three things there. And then I guess the last one would be knowing that every person is going through something and it's not comparison. Right? You may not have had a surgery, but you've lost someone you've loved. You may have, like I said earlier, like a divorce going on or a breakup. And I think sometimes when there's such darkness in the world and we turn on the news cycles, it's easy to go. And I hear this from people all the time. Oh, but mine's a first world problem.
Yeah.
Right? Or they have it bad. Like your story is just incredible, right? Like family members in jail. And there may have been times when you're like, yeah, but I'm not. Well, you know, or, oh, well, that person has five people in jail and I have four or whatever the case may be. It's like that comparison is not necessary. This is your journey.
Absolutely. Yeah. And very well said, Allison. I really appreciate that. You know, as you look back on your journey today, would you do anything differently?
Mm. Yes, I'd allow anger to be directed in the right spot and not have it overshadow.
Mm.
So one of the things that I've found is emotional discipline is required and a lot of self-awareness because the worst emotions can so easily overshadow everything.
Yeah.
Right? And it can be really hard to figure out this situation, what emotion does it deserve as opposed to this situation, which doesn't deserve like that. It's like, it's really quite joyous.
Yes.
And so feeling like even, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my mom was in the hospital again. And I was like, really, you know, of course you're scared, you're upset, you're all those different things. It's the unknown. And then I was like, okay, as soon as I left the hospital, I had to go give a speech. So I dropped her at an Emerge, had to go give a speech. And I was able to go, okay, Allison, you lean into those feelings. You've got the fear. You've got this, like, all of that is valid. But this speech is a joyous opportunity to inspire other people. And that is not required for this situation. So I literally, like, compartmentalized it. And that took a lot of time. But I think that that's really important, because early in my days, I would have been really angry with the pain, and like in so much pain, and anger is one thing that can really, irritability. And I'd snap at my mom, or I'd snap at somebody unrelated. Well, I wish I could take that back. I wish I would have learned that lesson and how to do that earlier.
Sure. That's a great lesson learned. I appreciate you sharing that as well. So Allison, you know, as we look back on the last couple of years, we've had people who have lost loved ones, lost material possessions, lost finances, even in situations, lost hope. Allison, what can you tell the folks out there who are looking for an opportunity or some type of silver lining in tomorrow? What can you tell those folks that a better day is to come?
That you and your value are not defined by your circumstances. There's no way to escape the worst in life, like the grief. Like, you got to go through that. You can't shortcut it. I tell you, the gotta go technique does not work. Getting busy so you can avoid the feelings is denial and deflection, and will eventually catch up with you, as it did with me. And so that, you are not your circumstances, and really unpacking that and finding the peace, the little moments, the little wonderment when you look up at it, like, I mean, it sounds cheesy, but like, you know, my doggy's over there and you can probably hear, I don't know if you can hear him in the blankets, you know, trying to get them all put the perfect way. Like, what did you, and he's looking at me because he knows I'm talking about him, but like, what a joyous little moment, right? Like, feeling those things. I think that that's like, find little pieces that can just spark more. We have to take 100% responsibility for how we show up in the world.
Yes. Yes. I love it. That's great advice. And folks out there, hope you've been inspired by Allison's story. Amazing story. Allison, one more time, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
On my website at allisongraham.com.
Yes. Follow her, get her books, check her out. You're talking about a coach who's been there, done that. Speaker who's been there, done that. Allison, now, you know, we have a little fun on our podcast. You ready to have a little fun?
I love that. Some fun.
All right. Awesome. All right. So the portion of our podcast is called a rapid fire purpose questions. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I want you to give me and the audience your most concise answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Allison, tell us what gives your life meaning.
You. All the people.
All the people. I love it.
All the people. I don't know. It's supposed to be a really short answer. But like, yeah, I don't have to explain that. Yes, that's right.
Great answer. What one word best describes you?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. Good answer. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
The struggle, the emotional struggle. You don't have to stick in it.
Yeah, love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Probably eat. I don't know.
That's all of us, yeah.
Yeah, I danced. I was a dancer.
Dancer, oh, I love it, I love it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I should expect these questions. I'm so good at managing my time that I feel like it's all there, but I'd love to travel more, but I don't not do that because of time. I do that not because of COVID, which was two double negatives. Sorry about that, but you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
What did your 15-year-old self, Allison, imagine you'd be doing right now?
Well, probably living on a horse ranch, even though I don't ride horses.
not a bad place to be. Absolutely. Who inspires you the most?
God, that's a hard question. I don't have an answer. It's like there are like 100 people running through my mind. I'm going to say the collective.
Okay.
Going to collect, not the hacker group. I mean, like the collective of people.
Yeah. Great answer. We'll take that. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I was in a Platinum Blonde Rock video when I was 18.
Really? Superstar there. Look at this. Superstar. What is on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Oh, I don't know. Fall in love, get married.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gosh, I shouldn't admit that, but that sounded good.
There's someone out there listening. Make sure you reach out to Allison there.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally admit that publicly, but you know, you've brought me through. Yeah, I think that's an honest answer. So
I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Speaking,
good.
Speaking, not necessarily, it's the creating content. So no matter what, I'm always thinking about ideas and the human experience and how do we make it better? Like it just, my brain doesn't stop on that. Like I'm fascinated by it.
I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
She made an impact.
Yes. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Touching people's hearts.
Good answer. I love it. What sparks your creativity?
Conversation.
Yeah, good. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh, great question. What would I pass first?
Come on.
Well, so I'm in Canada. So as prime minister, I would get, and actually in president, I would get rid of the vaccination requirements at the border. Done. Okay. Even though I'm vaccinated, I would get rid of those. Gone.
All right. I'm sure you get a lot of votes on that one. Good. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory, because A, he has incredible conversations with incredible people. So I could really kind of like be a part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I also think actually him and Lisa. So I want them as a team because they've just given so much and they're so committed to helping people get to that next level.
Awesome. Good answer. What do you love to do for others?
Strategize problems, like how to fix them.
Yeah. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Their time.
Yeah. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
I would take one of the notes that I get from audience members. Like, oh, actually, I remember one in particular. She's like, I had your book on my nightstand for like 2 years and I didn't read it. And I finally did. And it changed my life.
Wow. That's good. Yeah.
And she sent me a handwritten note to tell me that. So I'm going to say that's meaningful to me.
Absolutely. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Speak up.
Yeah. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
When I was on stage dancing, I had a wardrobe malfunction. I don't know why this came to my mind, but it's so funny. And it was my snap came off. And so I was probably about 13 years old. And it was a tap dance duet. And we were in front of like 700 people and I did not miss so much as a flap and I caught it and I finished doing the entire dance. So somehow or other, my mom and my dad must have instilled this show must go on thinking in me. But yeah, I just did. And I think to myself, like at 13 years old, I should have run off stage.
Yeah, that is talent.
But I don't know if I was that talented. The duet wasn't that good, but I stay in power.
You improvise. I love it. What does success look like for you, Allison?
Success definitely looks like, it won't surprise you in the answers, but serving people and helping them come out of the struggle. So can I get do more speaking engagements? Can I be on more podcasts? Can I touch more lives? And, you know, people reading the books, I think is really important to me. Only if it's going to help them, right? Obviously, that is success.
Awesome. What are you most grateful for?
The ability to be at peace when things are swirling out of control.
What's been the biggest lesson you've learned in life?
That the shields that we put up are probably unnecessary.
Good lesson. Yeah, absolutely. And last but not least, Allison, how do you want to be remembered in history?
inspired people, made an impact.
Awesome. Allison Graham, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause. Awesome job, folks. Allison Graham, hope you've been inspired by her story. Allison, as we really wrap things up, one more thing here, one more question here. Our podcast centers around two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words of advice can you give our audience around purpose and resiliency?
Tap into who you are and stop comparing yourself to other people. Do what's going to honor you and is step into your brilliance. It's just not worth it to hide in the shadows.
Yes, yes. Awesome words. Be the best you can be. Folks out there, follow Allison Graham, amazing speaker, coach, consultant. Allison, one more time, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
Come on over to AllisonGraham.com. And also, come visit me on LinkedIn is a great place too. YouTube, I'm on all the socials.
She's made it easy for you. Hey, Allison, thank you for joining us. Hey, folks, if you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you. Share your story with us. Go to TAWatson.com, share with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. I want to thank you all for joining me today. Allison Graham, you've been amazing. Everyone else out there, peace and deuces.